In your production notes, you talk about being 8 years of age and in Dublin with your father and an encounter you both had with Brendan Behan. Could you tell me a little about that encounter?
Yeah, well, I was a young kid at the time, and we were walking up North Earl Street past Madigan's Pub, used to be called the Goalpost, I think. And my father obviously recognized this person in the distance, and he came towards us. And I remember as a young kid thinking that he looked like a bear. You know, he was this huge, broad person with really short legs. And he was really loud, and the two of them were laughing and guffawing. And I was quite afraid of him, and sort of I hid in behind my father. And they had a really animated conversation. And when he moved off, my father turned around and he said, "That's Brendan Behan, he's a great Dublin writer." And it stuck in my head because a couple of years later, an aunt of mine was a sister in the Meath Hospital where Brendan was dying. And she used to bring us accounts of what was happening in the hospital at the time. So these two incidences kind of connected Brendan Behan in my head. And I sort of carried this knowledge of him into my teens and then discovered, of course, that he had written these terrific stuff, you know, The Queer Fella and The Hostage and Borstal Boy, all of which I discovered in my teens. And then, you know, just, I suppose, the connection of the parish, you know, that he was from the North Circular Road, Russell Street, and we were from Savile Place. You know, we shared schools. He went to Canis's, I went to O'Toole's. You know, we played in the same streets, basically. And, you know, when you find those connections with a writer, it tends to just have an added interest for you then.
In your production notes, you say that the film is the celebration of a unique spirit. How long have you wanted to make the film for?
Well, I've been wanting to make a film on Behan since 1989, and I'd worked for about 6 or 7 years on a big biopic, which kind of covered the expanse of his entire life. And I got very close to shooting that film in 1996, but at the last minute, the movie collapsed when Sean Penn decided he couldn't turn up for work. So that fell down, and I had to, you know, get up and dust myself off and start all over again. And my brother Jim suggested to me that we go for a smaller scale film this second time around, you know. And he suggested just concentrating on the Borstal years. So that's what we went for. We started to develop the project then in 1996. We wrote the script in 97 and 98, and then we shot it in 1999. So I suppose it's taken me 10 years to get a film on Brendan Behan onto the screen.
Was it very difficult to pick yourself up in 1996 after the other film or project collapsed?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's always a real difficulty when kind of something that you've worked so hard for gets so close, gets so, you know, so near, and then you find that it all disintegrates. But what happened to me, strangely, was that when that happened, I found myself in the unique position in my life of actually not knowing what I was going to be doing. Because, you know, I went from one job to the next. I'm a working director, you know, so I would direct a play. I would know what the next show I was doing was going to be and so on. But when the movie collapsed, I literally had nothing lined up. So I sat down and started a book, which became 44, a Dublin memoir, which became a bestseller and changed my life.
Given that Borstal Boy and its author are so revered, do you think that people would ever say, "My God, could you not have picked an easier first feature film?"
Yeah, I mean, I think people would say that, and I think could say that with some justification. On the other hand, I do think that the elements of the story in Borstal Boy are just so appealing to me. I mean, the idea of a 16-year-old kid from Dublin, you know, packing explosives into a suitcase and going to England under no instructions from anybody. He just decided himself he wanted to do this. And to make a blow for Ireland in 1939. I mean, just the idealism of somebody like that, it fascinates me. And I want to get inside the skin of that person. I want to really penetrate them. And I think it's a great starting point for a movie that you've got somebody that motivated, that driven. Because what great central characters in films have, I believe, is a great drive, a great inner vehicle. And certainly Brendan Behan had that. And so therefore he's very appealing from a filming point of view.
Did you initially feel uncomfortable about choosing a young American actor, Sean Hattusi, for the central
Yeah,
role?
it wouldn't have been my choice. I would have preferred if he'd been Irish. That's the honest truth of it. But I couldn't find somebody Irish who had the qualities that I was looking for, which I suppose essentially were somebody who could play the boy and the man. So I wanted an actor who at the beginning of the film would look like a kid, but by the end of the film you would realize he's grown up. Now that's an extremely difficult and rare thing to find. And I believe that Sean Hattusi had that. And I believe that's the quality he brings to the role and what I was looking for.
It's very hard to strike that blend of getting someone who can be both proud and scared at the same time.
Yeah, extremely difficult. And I think that a role as demanding as this, it would be very unusual to find a newcomer who could play it, because it's just every scene. He's in every single scene in the film. So it does require somebody with a certain nous, you know, a certain kind of sense of film and how you pace yourself and, you know, how you see the arc, the entire arc of the film, you know, and not be sort of playing it all out in one individual scene. And I suppose that Sean's experience in American films kind of gave him a slight edge over one or two other people that I was looking at.
And did Sean had he ever read anything of Beans?
Well, strangely about Sean, I met him in a hotel lobby in New York, and I hadn't auditioned him, I just met him. And we got talking, and he said to me that he'd been trained by a guy called Sam McCready. And I said to him, I know Sam McCready. Sam McCready directed me in a show in Belfast in 1970. He couldn't believe this, you know. He couldn't believe the connection, you know, in Ireland being so small that everybody would know everybody. So he was very well-versed in people like Brian Friel and Hugh Leonard, had heard of Bean, knew a bit about him. So he was bringing a little bit of knowledge with him to the role, but he essentially didn't know very much.
Well, speaking of everybody knowing everyone, how closely did you collaborate with the Bean family during the making of the film?
Well, I didn't collaborate with them at all. I mean, I think that in order to make a movie, you've got to be free, you've got to be independent. You know, you've got to just be responsible to your own artistic vision. So I would never be pitching my ideas at the family. I think that would be a disastrous situation to find oneself in. So what I would have been looking for would have been rigorous independence. And certainly I got that, and I certainly wouldn't have proceeded, you know, if I felt that they had script approval or any kind of a final cut situation on the film.
But was it a case that you could call on them to gain more background information? Or?
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, I've had a long history with the Bean family because I did a stage play called Mother of All the Beans in the mid-80s. And so, you know, from the period of the early 80s, you know, right through, I knew them all. And so I could call on them if I really, really needed to know something. And yeah, sure, but that would have been not in any way sort of given them an access point or you know, a control or an approval situation on anything that I wrote.
And how did they feel about the finished film?
Well, I'd say probably mixed. I think that Seamus thought that it wasn't the Borstal Boy, but that it was a great evocation of something. I think that Brian felt similarly. Blana didn't make it. She's got a young baby, so she wasn't able to make it to the opening. And I think Podge liked the film a lot. I think they like it. You know, I'm not sure that they think it's quite Borstal Boy, though.
But you said yourself from the outset that you've taken a lot of liberties, but you have to do that to get a book on screen.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, I mean, I would be a big believer in the thing that you can't really make a book into a film. What you do is you take a slice of it. You take an angle and you develop that. And by doing that, you kind of lose the book, but in another way, you find it again. So to me, you know, taking liberties is absolutely a bottom line position on developing a book for the screen. You've got to take decisions. You've got to take big decisions about what you leave out, about what you put in, about what you go for. And I did that, and I made it a sexual coming-of-age story. That's the story I wanted to tell. And I make no apologies for that. And some people won't like that. I mean, some people will think, hey, that's not Brendan Behan. You know, and, you know, maybe it isn't the public perception of Brendan Behan in some instances, but I think that the spirit of the character is very close to where young Brendan was at, really, when he was 16.
But as you say, while the film is a sexual coming-of-age story, you never sensationalise the whole issue of bisexuality in the film. I mean, it's very much worked into the entire story.
Yeah, well, sure, but I mean, that would just be kind of my own take on it. I mean, I'm not interested in a kind of gratuitous use of sexuality in a film. It's a very emotional film. It's a very warm film. I mean, it's a film that I think is character-driven. You know, I mean, I always said that from day one when I was shooting this film, if when we get to the moment where the two boys bond, if the audience want that to happen, the film is a success. That's the key moment in the film, that you want those two guys to be together because they emotionally have invested so much in each other. And I haven't seen that film before. So I was sort of trying to make a film that was my vision of a relationship between two guys. And I went for it, you know, and I went for it very clearly.
Was it difficult condensing his entire Borstal experiences into the space of 90 minutes?
Yeah, it's an impossibility, actually. I mean, what, you know, it's such a short space of time, you know, to encompass anything. And because film works so much on the visual sense, you know, where you're actually, you know, Brendan was, you know, he was great with language, you know. His there's great piece, set pieces in the book. There's a great scene, for example, where he confronts a priest, you know, and it goes on for about a half a page of the book, a half a page of dialogue. Now, in filmic terms, that's 5 minutes. But you can't waste 5 minutes in a film doing that. Because if you do, there's all sorts of repercussions, you know. So you have to take really radical decisions about, you know, what gets left in and what gets left out. And I would have been going... The funny thing about me is, like, I write prose and I write for the theatre, but when I get the film, I actually like films that don't have a lot of dialogue. I mean, I'm quite visual on a filmic level. I made a movie called The Breakfast, which is entirely visual almost, you know. And Borstal Boy doesn't have much dialogue in it in comparison to the book.
Are you working on anything film-wise in the future?
Yeah, I'm working on a story about the Magdalen laundries in Ireland, the places where the young girls were sent to, got pregnant outside of marriage and were basically imprisoned. And it's a story about an American girl coming back from Boston to try and find out who her mother was. And she discovers that her mother was one of these Magdalen women. And she discovers the truth about her mother's time there. So it's a story of self-discovery. And if Borstal Boy was the male film that I made, this is the female film. There are no men in the film. It's all women.
And you're also finishing up a book.
Yeah, just finishing a new book called 47 Roses, which is really a story about love and obsession. It's centered around three characters, my mother, my father, and another woman. And it's about the interaction of these three people in each other's lives. And it's a kind of a companion piece.